Well, for our third episode of our Rural Candidates series, where we interview those residing in rural areas who are running for public office. But this episode, we took a turn and we hope to have another peer of this candidate interviewed next week, or a conversation with them next week for our episode next week. So this week we were able to interview Doc Washburn, who is a Republican candidate for governor. We had a very thorough conversation, and as always, RCA, this is not a platform where we're taking sides politically in no form, shape, or fashion. We are just offering a platform for voters to hear from candidates, hear directly from candidates on their platform and what they believe in. So this is another episode where we are providing that platform. So I hope you all take a listen and to hear about Doc Washburn's platform and what he believes in. Thank you all for joining us again. Welcome to the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance, and where we're continuing our series with having a conversation with those who are running for public office. The past two episodes, they were more so on the more local county level, but now we have Doc Washburn, who is running for governor. How are you, Doc?
Hey, I'm doing great. And Candace, it's an honor to be on. It's an honor that people have me running all over the state of Arkansas, and let me speak to them. And I'm really thankful for this opportunity to speak to your listeners and viewers, I guess. See, I say listeners, I'm used to radio. Viewers, there's actual video going on, Doc. Okay, I'll hush and let you say something.
You know, usually I wouldn't do video, but you know, you popped up on video. So I said, you know, let's go ahead and do video today. So yes, they'll be able to see us this time around. So we'll get started. What inspired you to run for governor?
Great question. You know, I did the local talk radio show on a little thing in Little Rock we called News Radio 1029, KARN. And I did it for 7 years and 3 months. And Cumulus Media, the company that owns that radio station, a bunch of other radio stations, announced in August, you got 2 months to get fully vaccinated. If you're not, see ya. You're out the door. So I was fired on October 8th, 2021. And some friends of mine and I decided to put together a podcast. I actually had some friends put up some money to get a national podcast going 5 days a week, a DocWashburnShow.com. And eventually you got some advertisers, started making some money, and that's all good. Over the course of the time I had been at KRN in Little Rock, every once in a while, somebody would say, hey, you need to run for office. You need to run for this. You need to run for that. Yeah. And my response was always, oh, no. You got the wrong guy. I'm not cut out for that. I'm never going to run for office. I'm the guy who interviews the politicians. I'm not going to be one. Not a chance. So in late January, early February, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who by this point was the only candidate for the Republican nomination of for governor, she endorsed Senator John Bozeman for re-election and endorsed U.S. Representative French Hill for re-election on her Facebook page and got hundreds of negative responses. I mean, it was like 99% negative. And that's when my phone started ringing again. And people saying, man, we need a choice here. I mean, they got Tim Griffin out of the race. They got Leslie Rutledge out of the race. She's the only thing left. We can't support her if she is endorsing people like John Bozeman and French Hill for re-election. Please, you need to run for governor. And again, I was like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, you got the wrong guy. I'm not cut out for that. I'm a talk show host. But then Sunday, February 6th, Jan Morgan called me. Now, Jan had primaried Governor Hutchinson in 2018 for the gubernatorial nomination, Republican nomination for governor. And now she is primarying Senator John Bozeman for Republican nomination for U.S. Senator. Mm-hmm. When I told Jan no, she wasn't having it. Mm-hmm. Her response was, Now, listen to me. You don't understand what's going on. We're about to lose our country. Good people like you need to stand up and run for office. You need to talk to your wife, and y'all need to pray about it. Well, that kind of shocked me because nobody had ever pushed back before. You tell a Christian, talk to his wife and pray about something. What am I supposed to do? Say no? I'm like, okay, Jen, all right, I'll talk to my wife and we'll pray about it. So I talked to my wife and we prayed about it. And my wife said, look, this is way over my head. I trust your judgment. But I knew the Proverbs talked about the importance of wise counsel and even said, there's a proverb that says, there's wisdom in the abundance of counsel. So the next evening, Monday, February 7th, 2022, I met with 10 or 11 people in a conference room at a church in North Little Rock. And we kicked around the idea for 2.5 hours of whether I should run for governor or not. And the two main questions I remember. The first one is, well, if you decide to run for governor, will this be a publicity stunt? A lot of people still don't know what happened to you. Will this just be some PR to push your podcast? Or would you actually be thinking about winning? I said, no, if I run for governor, I'm in it to win it. Okay, the other question was, what would your top priority be if you run for governor? I said, to glorify God, because we're told we're supposed to glorify God in everything. And Jan Morgan, who was at the meeting, said, that's what I've been waiting to hear. So at the end of 2.5 hours, it was unanimous. Everybody was saying, you know, I hope that you run. So we kept praying about it. I was scheduled to speak to the Saline County Republican Women's Club the next evening, Tuesday, February 8th. And I told them what I thought it meant that Sarah was getting so many comments on her Facebook posts saying, why won't you answer any questions? Why won't you talk about any issues? I told them what I thought it meant that she endorsed not only John Bozeman, who said that President Trump was at least partially responsible for the violence on January 6th at the Capitol and could possibly be criminally investigated and prosecuted, but she endorsed U.S. Representative French Hill, who said that Donald Trump's rhetoric leading up January 6th is unforgivable. The idea the election was stolen is a fiction and fallacy. That Liz Cheney, who voted to impeach Donald Trump, is an outstanding conservative. And he actually voted for Nancy Pelosi's January 6th commission. Not to mention voted for $400 million for the CDC to strengthen a vaccination database to keep track of all our vaccination statuses in real time across the country. And last but not least, what it meant that when Governor Hutchinson endorsed her, she talked about what a great job ACE has been doing. Now, if you know that Governor Hutchinson vetoed a bill to make it against the law to chemically castrate children, to give puberty blockers to children, I don't know how you can be that out of touch, say he's been doing a great job. So I told the ladies, look, it costs $15,000 to file to run for governor as a Republican. I don't have the money. But if the Lord provides money, I'm going to file. I'm running for governor. And the contributions started coming in that evening. And sure enough, God did provide the money. And so next thing you know, we're off to the races. I know you asked a simple question. I didn't, you probably didn't expect me to write War and Peace for you. But, right. But that's how it happened. Yeah.
All right. So that's what inspired you to run.
Yes, ma'am.
Rural Community Alliance, you know, of course, we're an organization that we don't take political sides. This is just an avenue to let people know, you know, these are the people who are running for public office.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for sharing what inspired you to run.
Sure.
Okay. What are you hoping to accomplish if elected to office?
I would like to introduce a new concept to our state government. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. And I'll give you a number of examples where that's not happening. But the big overarching picture is I want to radically reduce the size and scope of the state government to get them off everybody's back. Now, do unto others as you have them do unto you. We hear about horror stories coming out of nursing homes on a frequent basis. Now, I'm sure some nursing homes are doing a good job, but a lot of them aren't. You hear about folks with untreated bed sores, nursing homes where the personnel is ignoring doctor's orders, nursing homes where there's no background check, where they don't see our precious elderly as human beings. On day one, as governor, I would put out an executive order saying to the Office of Long-Term Care, which is a state agency, ordering them to enforce the law. I've heard too many anecdotes about Well, they just show up and sign a little paperwork, shake hands with the manager, take off. They don't really inspect the nursing homes. Another example is we're the only state in the union that has duplicate child welfare agencies. We got DCFS, Division of Children and Family Services under the Department of Human Services. And then over here, we got Crimes Against Children Division under the state police. Now, we have, these caseworkers, these child welfare caseworkers who take children away from parents who love them, haven't done anything wrong. And then the parents are presumed guilty until they can prove their innocence. Sometimes it takes months, even years to get the kids back. Sometimes they don't get the kids back. If I'm governor, all child welfare workers, well, first of all, we got to figure out which agency to get rid of, because that's crazy. In the only state like that, that's insane. If I'm governor, all child welfare workers have to wear body cams, just like we ask our police officers to do when they're interacting with parents and children. They have to give parents Miranda rights, and they have to stop buffaloing their way into folks' homes without a warrant because the parents don't know their rights. I talked to a sheriff recently after a campaign appearance who said DCFS called him up a little while back, said, hey, we need a couple of deputies. We're going to take four children away from their parents. And the sheriff's response was, hey, you got a warrant? DCFS is like, excuse me, what? Good. Warrant, probable cause, constitution. Do these words mean anything to you? That's the way it works in this county. I'm like, well, sheriff, I wish all 75 sheriffs looked at things like that. So that's a couple of ways. Another thing, we are one of the highest taxed states in the country, certainly the highest tax in the Mid-South. State government right now is sitting on $1.2 billion tax surplus, which means they've been taxing living daylights out of us. And that's outrageous. We need to get rid of the personal income tax in Arkansas, need to get rid of the income tax on small businesses, and for sure need to get rid of the tax on used goods. Now, I just bought a 2013 Honda Accord over at Red River, 85,000 miles, $15,000, got a really good deal. I go down to DMV and the lady's real nice. She's like, okay, now you need to call this number and get the assessment. I'm like, okay. So I call the number, get the assessment. Yeah, you owe us $1,030 tax. I'm like, oh, I thought the guy that bought it new paid the tax. Yep, and you're going to pay it too. And when you trade it in, the next guy's going to pay it, and on and on and on. The state government is trolling moms on Facebook who are trying to sell their children's used clothes because they grew out of them. Oh, you owe us a tax on that. That's outrageous. It's ridiculous. $1.2 billion they're sitting on. We have the second highest tax in the country on your monthly cell phone bill. 20.21%. And they said it's because we got to have a world-class 911 system. Well, like nobody wants to be put on hold when they call 911. There's some kind of emergency going on. But our cell phone tax is higher than New York or California. I'm sure they got pretty good 911 systems. Something's wrong here. The legislature on a regular basis is like, okay, we're going to lower your tax over here. See, we're lowering taxes. And at the same time, don't look over here where we're raising these. That's got to come to a stop. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. None of this stuff has changed, whether they're talking about the nursing homes, child welfare system. We got veterans that are homeless. That shouldn't be. I got a friend named Mark Diggs who runs a nonprofit called Veterans Villages of America. And he hears from veterans on a regular basis who are homeless, don't have money for groceries, whatever. And he helps them because, see, some of these folks don't know that they have federal benefits that are due to them. Now, there's an office in every county in the state that's supposed to be coordinating that to make sure that this doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But it does happen. And nothing has changed. I don't care if the governor is Republican or Democrat. Through two terms of Asa Hutchinson, two terms of Mike Beebe, two and a half terms of Mike Huckabee, nothing's changed. But Sarah Huckabee Sanders says Governor Hutchinson has been doing a good job. No. I mean, this is going to be kind of a revolutionary idea, do unto others you have them do unto you. But we got to change things. I just don't think Republican primary voters, or for that matter, Democrats are going to cross over to vote in Republican primary, want more of the status quo, more of the same thing. We've got to change things for the better in this state.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yes, so ma'am. What are you committing to do? I know you just mentioned things that you're hoping to accomplish, but what are two things that you're committing to do, or were those things you just mentioned, like things that you're committing to do You sound pretty stern on them.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Those are some of the things I'm committing to do. A couple other things. No more mask mandates, no more vaccination mandates. Now, my opponent agrees that government vaccination mandates are wrong, but she thinks if Walmart wants to do a vaccine mandate and everybody in home office, or Tyson wants to do a vaccine mandate and all their employees, that's fine because they're private businesses. Well, the state statute that passed in 2017 says Arkansas citizens have the right to make their own medical decisions. Now, in context, it wasn't about vaccine mandates. In context, it was a bill about advance directives, you know, living will, that kind of thing. Yeah. But still, that principle is there. We have the right to make our own vaccine mandates. I was fired for not going along with a vaccine mandate. A lot of folks in the state have been fired. And Sarah doesn't have a problem with that, as long as it's not the government putting it down on you. Well, to me, it's just as bad private business is trying to do it. So that is something that I will be talking to my legislators saying, look, we got to get a law passed on this, and I'll sign it as soon as it hits my desk. But other things, you know, since we are talking under the auspices of the Rural Community Alliance, I found out something when I started running for governor, when I went and started talking to folks in rural areas. And that's about this Arkansas Division of Environmental Quality, which makes life very difficult for farmers. And there is a wonderful tradition when you get elected governor in Arkansas, your first day in office, you have all these resignation letters all over your desk from the heads of all these departments and agencies. I don't know any right now that I'm going to decline, but I'm for sure going to accept the one from Ms. Keough, who is in charge of the Arkansas Division of Environmental Quality that's making life so difficult for our farmers. You know, we don't need some environmentalist wacko who's never been a farmer telling farmers, hey, we're going to make your life even more difficult. You're going to have to do this now. No, we need somebody who understands farming to be in charge of that agency. We have an agency that is supposed to be all about economic development in this state. But as far as I can tell, every time a governor comes in, they put somebody from academia in charge of that, not somebody who's actually had to meet a payroll.
Are you referring to the AADC?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I think it would be better to have someone who actually has run a small business be in charge of that. These are revolutionary ideas. You know, I mean, I like the fact, for instance, that Walmart has low prices every day and they give a lot of people jobs. That's great. But what I'm sick and tired of is Walmart and the Chamber of Commerce trying to shove their liberal ideologies down our throats. I mean, there was a bill recently, a few months ago, that the legislature passed called the SAFE Act, Save Adolescents from Experimentation. And it was a wonderful act to, again, outlaw puberty blockers, chemical castration of children. But it was a little bit of a misnomer when it says save adolescents. It wasn't just adolescents. It was all children under 18. There were some, quote unquote, medical experts testifying against the bill. And when one of them was asked, is 4 years old too young to make the decision that you were assigned the wrong gender at birth? Dr. Natalie Burr, pediatrician, Little Rock Pediatrics, said 4 years old is not too young to start the counseling process on the transgender situation. That's crazy. That's insane. So, you know, I say thank God that the legislature passed the bill and overrode Asa Hutchins' veto. But he went on Fox News, a show called Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson tried to present him with the evidence that if you do this to children, by the time they're in their 20s, suicide's going through the roof. And Asa was like, well, Tucker, I've spoken with the medical experts here in Arkansas, and they say it's wrong to keep these children with gender dysphoria from going through this process. So Tucker's like, did you get a call from Walmart, Dillard's, anybody about this? No, Tucker, like I've said, I spoke to the medical experts. So the next night, Tucker calls and has an update. He has video of Asa Hutchinson from a few days earlier on a different Fox News show saying, we have major multinational corporations in this state that are concerned about this issue. So Tucker Carlson looks in the camera and says, so he lied to us. Over and over and over again, conservatives in the state legislature have tried to do some good things. But if Walmart lets Governor Hutchinson know, oh, no, 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 that's bad. We're against that. Make our state look bad. And he's like, okay, I'll jump. How high do you want me to jump? That needs to change.
So I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, please.
So if elected, how much do you plan on working with private corporations?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I plan on working with private corporations big time. If you lower the taxes, they're going to make more money. And if you lower the taxes, you know, entrepreneurs will be encouraged to start their own small businesses. Even with our high taxes, I think it's almost a miracle that you have companies like Slim Chickens, Tacos for Life, Eat My Catfish that all got started in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And they're all wonderful. Now, how much more could we see economic growth in this state where they're talking about small businesses just getting started out? Eat My Catfish started a food truck in Benton, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Or the large corporations. See, the irony here, and I'm glad you asked this, the irony here is that folks like Tyson, Walmart, Dillard's, Axiom, whoever, I hope they'll realize I'm actually trying to help them do more business. Because again, if we lower the taxes, business will come flooding into Arkansas. For that matter, if we start making sure that our veterans aren't homeless, aren't trying to figure out how to, you know, where their next meal's coming from, but they're actually, you know, are able to have their own homes or at least rent a nice place, buy a used car, go out to eat every once in a while, that's going to contribute to our economy. There are a lot of things we can do. You know, I want to see all these companies more successful. I just don't want them shoving their liberal ideologies down our throats, which have nothing to do with their bottom line. So to me, that's kind of two different things.
Okay. As you know, a number of rural districts were mandated to consolidate. And it left a lot of buildings that taxpayers had invested in. They just left them there. A lot of them were donated to community organizations. But there has been no investment in these communities or in these facilities that could very well still serve the community since they've been mandated to consolidate with the neighboring district. So that's not an unfamiliar story for a lot of the communities the Rural Community Alliance works with.
Yep.
A lot of these communities still have, you know, children there that have to bus. They still, you know, have families there. So what would you do for these communities? I reside in the Delta region of the state. Historically, I think they title it persistent poverty. So what would you do for a community, or what would you plan to do for communities like that? Rural places that have pretty much they've kind of been just left by the wayside. So what would you do?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that, because there's been a real learning curve for me about the consolidation of the school districts, the rural school districts that Mike Huckabee did with the Democrat legislature. They conspired together back in 2004 and consolidated a lot of these rural school districts. Now, what I didn't understand the first time somebody was talking to me about that, shortly after I got to Arkansas, most places I've lived, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, you'd have, you know, however many counties in the state you had a school district for each county. So I didn't understand what the issue was until a few months ago. I ran into State Senator Charles Beckham, who represents a district in South Arkansas. He said, well, Doc, here's the problem. Some of my constituents have 5 and 6 year olds, have to get on a bus before dawn and ride 2 hours one way to school and 2 hours back in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, well, that's child abuse. That's insane. And I met some of the ladies in Perrin, Arkansas, which is northwestern Saline County, right over the county line from Pulaski County. And we sat and talked in what used to be their school there. Mm-hmm. And they were telling me how, and this wasn't even in the Delta. This was like,
right. You know, it's happening all over the state.
Yeah. Saline and Pulaski County when you think about them in totality, are thriving communities.
Right.
You know, that's a Little Rock Metro. And yet Heron, they're like, it's devastated our community.
Yep.
You know, what Governor Huckabee and the Democrat legislature did together back in 04, it devastated our community. And their kids don't have to ride 2 hours one way, but I think it's over an hour. And that's insane to the schools down in Bryant. What I want to do is unconsolidate the districts. And people say, well, how can you afford that? I'm like, look.
And how can you afford it?
Well, we're sitting on $1.2 billion with a B tax surplus. And the other thing that the moms and parents told me was that when they did it, Governor Huckabee and the state legislature said, oh, this is going to save money. But it hasn't saved money. It hasn't saved money. So it's outrageous. We need to pass a law about the maximum amount of time that a child should have to be on a school bus every day and unconsolidate some of these districts to make sure, because again, a kindergartner, a five-year-old, being on the bus for 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening. I mean, what has he got to use the bathroom? 2 hours is too long for a little child to be on the bus. Mm-hmm. It's outrageous. Once Senator Beckham explained that to me, I'm like, okay, I get it. So I'll be working with the state legislature to undo the damage that Mike Huckabee and the Democrat legislature did to us back in 04. And it's bipartisan mess. And there are just way too many folk. I don't care if you're talking about Dumas or McGee or Perrin or Chico County or wherever. It's child abuse, and they take it out on the rest of us. You know, it's crazy to me. The last 40 years, we've had 20 years of Democrat governors, 20 years of Republican governors, and the fat cats keep on getting fatter and richer. And the rest of us, paycheck by paycheck folks, don't seem to be doing any better, regardless of whether it's a D or an R in the governor's mansion. I want to change that. And one of the things too, real school choice, you know? I talked to some folks in Paragould Saturday, and they're very concerned up there about pornographic literature in school libraries under the rubric of, well, you know, we got to do LGBTQ, whatever. The only thing that's going to make these public schools listen to the parents, I think, is real competition, where folk can afford to get their child the kind of education they want their child to have and not have them brainwashed in a worldview that's anathema to a lot of folk.
So you don't think public schools can offer the education that children need?
They can if they are given an incentive to.
You believe that public schools only can offer, I guess, world-class education if they have an incentive to do it?
Well, if there's no competition, I mean, we see what's going on, right? We see the low test scores. We see people sometimes going all the way through school and hardly know how to read.
And that's why I asked the question of what do you plan on doing for communities? Because as we know, it does not start and stop within those school walls. It's also the what these children experience and what they see outside of these school walls.
Right.
That's building the communities.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And one of the problems is we have way too many children who are not being raised by mom or dad, but being raised by grandmama or great grandmama because dad didn't hang around. And that is a very difficult issue that the government can't really do much about, but the communities can and the churches can encourage folk to get married and stay married. Divorce is a horrible thing for children. I've heard so many people say that children cope better with a death of a parent than they do a divorce. Because at least if one of the parents dies, they know that mom and daddy loved each other to the end. And they deal with that better than if mom and daddy say, we're going to divorce.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. So I think you've talked about this as well. Some of the foreseen obstacles that you believe would be in the way of you accomplishing what you would hope to?
Well, I know that the Chamber of Commerce is a big lobbying concern in this state. I mean, the state government gives them money all the time, and they refunnel it into backing candidates in the state legislature. That's going to be a challenge. I'm told that the nursing home industry is one of the biggest lobbying concerns in the state. That's going to be a challenge. But, you know, I haven't accepted any money from any of these folks because I think they think it's a fait accompli. Look, Sarah's going to be governor. You know, you're just wasting your time, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the crazy thing. Everywhere I go, my message is overwhelmingly positively received. So my big challenge in getting the nomination is getting the message out to enough folks. And that's, of course, why I tell people to go to my website, electdocwashburn.com. But we got an invitation a few weeks back to go speak at the Benton County Republican Party. When I was kind of surprised, because I'm thinking, that's Walmart territory. Sarah's probably got that all wrapped up. I'm embarrassed. I didn't even reach out to them to say, can I come speak to you? They had to reach out to me. So I went up there. They gave me 10 minutes to speak at about 150, 200 people in Assembly of God Church in Rogers, Arkansas, but Benton County, Republican Party. And I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry. I thought you said something.
No, okay. I didn't. It kind of dubbed on your end. So I don't okay. know.
Sorry about that. It's okay. Anyway, so I talked about there's an old Spanish proverb. Show me who you walk with, and I show who you are. And Sarah walks with French Hill and John Bozeman and Asa Hutchinson and Mike Pence. And, you know, I'm trying to walk with the people of Arkansas who want to get the government off their backs. I got a standing ovation at the end of my little 10-minute speech, and I had people come up to me looking serious as cancer, saying things like, I never, ever could have possibly imagined somebody could peel away my support from Sarah for governor, but you just did. I'm going to vote for you. Mm-hmm. I get this everywhere. When I was in Mena, Arkansas, which is way too far away that they'd ever heard me on the radio, people are saying, never heard of you before. I've been sending money to Sarah, but I'm going to vote for you now. Mm-hmm. So my first challenge is getting the message out to enough people. If enough people hear the message, I'm going to be the nominee. There's no question about that. Sarah's folks are already polling people. Who are you going to vote for in the primary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders or Doc Washburn? But the challenge, if by the grace of God I get elected governor, is overcoming we've always done it this way. You know, we've always done it this way. Go back to the child welfare system. The family court system is all messed up because the judges, the guardian ad litems, and the court-appointed attorneys all have the same boss. They're all under Department of Human Services. And so court-appointed attorneys for the parents hardly ever really advocate for the parents because they are judges in the system. You're like, hey, you do that again, you're never going to appear in my courtroom again. Mm. It's all messed up. And one of the most horrific things you can imagine is for children to be taken away from parents who love them, who hadn't done anything wrong, and put in a foster care system. It's a mess. But there's a lot of money in it. There's a lot of money in it, and we need to turn it inside out. Now we got the abortion issue also. There have been a couple of bills passed in our state legislature, and everybody's kind of holding their breath to see what the U.S. Supreme Court does at the end of the term in June. Now, a lot of us really hope they overturn Roe versus Wade, which would not outlaw abortion, just send it back to the states. And I was told by somebody in the state legislature, if that happens, we have a trigger bill that would outlaw abortion in the state of Arkansas if Roe v. Wade gets overturned. And then I actually looked at this so-called trigger bill, and it doesn't really outlaw abortion. There are a lot of exceptions in there. So if you believe that life begins at conception, if you believe that we're talking about these are precious, innocent babies, then you need to pass a law that would outlaw abortion. But we'll see what happens at the end of the term. We'll see what the Supreme Court does about Roe v. Wade. But that's a big issue for Republican primary voters, for real.
Okay. So I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
there's a ballot initiative that would require more, that if it's a citizen ballot initiative, it would require more signatures from more counties, the percentage went up and things like that. What's your opinion on that?
I'm glad you asked me about that because this is the first time hearing about it. And my question is, why do they want to make it more difficult to put something on the ballot? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder who's behind it.
Well, you know, the legislator, they get to decide, I believe, a couple of the ballot initiatives that are presented around election time. And that was one of them that passed out of the legislator that they would include as a ballot initiative.
So
it'll be on our ballots in November. So I just want to know how you felt about that, because it would require representation, I think, from more counties and signatures for citizen-driven ballot initiatives.
I'm going to have to look that up and ask somebody who sponsored that, because that to me seems to be an indication that they want to make our government less responsive, not more responsive to the citizens. And I'm so glad you brought up the whole thing about elections, because every once in a while, somebody will ask me when I'm out campaigning, Doc, what do you think about these special elections to raise taxes in a city or a county that happen like in the middle of the year? And a lot of people don't even know about it because it's not in November. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, we got to get rid of that. They want to raise your taxes. They should do it in broad daylight in November every 2 years, not in June or July when you're on vacation. You don't even know about it. That's just wrong. I mean, they tried to do it in Little Rock a little while back, and enough people found out about it that the tax increase was voted down. But again, across the board, we're one of the highest tax states in the country. And again, we have wide areas, not just the Delta, but over in West Arkansas, where, you know, you're economically deprived, and you know, folk get through high school and go through college and they go off somewhere else and not coming back home. Then their job's back home.
Right.
I'd like to turn that around if I can.
Yeah. So I guess I said I had one more, but roads, what do you feel about the condition of roads in the state? I believe it was one or two sessions ago that a law was passed that would provide more funding for the roads. So I've, with my line of work, I drive quite a bit across the state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
I have not experienced roads as bad as they are in my county. So
which county are you in?
I reside in Phillips County. Work is being done, from my understanding, that things are planned. But why is that allowed to happen for roads to get so bad? Because, you know, with poverty being an issue, with transportation being an issue, bad roads make that much worse. Your alignment is messed up and all those things. So it's like beating down people who already, you know, are just deprived, you know, as you said. So what do you feel about the status of our roads, our bridges, our infrastructure, our water?
Yeah, you know, they keep on increasing the taxes, supposed to take care of infrastructure, supposed to take care of the roads. And then we keep on having these horrible roads. I'll tell you one thing. I've been up to Northwest Arkansas campaigning a few times. Mm-hmm. I can't find a pothole up there. Mm. Whole different ball game. And my wife grew up in Helena, Arkansas.
Oh, really?
Phillips County. Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
yes,
ma'am. Okay.
Which, by the way, I know they consolidated Helena, West Helena a while back. They call it Helena, West Helena, which to me sounds kind of superfluous. Why don't they just call it Helena, Helena? I'm sorry. No, I didn't deserve that. You're too kind. Okay. Look, I'll be here all week. Come early Friday for no smoking show. But back to your question, we need somebody in charge who's honest, so that when they say the taxes are going to go to this, the taxes actually go to this. Mm. The only part of the state I've been to where the roads are nice is Northwest Arkansas. Mm. I've been to Harrah Gould, Jonesboro. I'm going back to Camden tonight. I'm going to be in Texarkana tomorrow night. Searcy, Fort Smith, Conway, been all over the state. And it's crazy because, yeah, it does tear up your alignment. Why can't we have as nice roads in the rest of the state as we do in Northwest Arkansas? It's like, have you been up Northwest Arkansas recently?
It's been a year. It's been a couple years.
But it's a whole different ball game, whole different world up there.
Yeah, it doesn't even look like it's a part of Arkansas. You know, it's really nice there.
Oh, it's really nice. They are, from the 2010 census to the 2020 census, one of the top five fastest growing metros in the country. Mm-hmm. My wife has a niece whose husband does IT for Walmart, makes six figures. He was saying, we're almost about to look like Austin, Texas up here. It's growing so fast. There's stuff, building stuff all over the place, all these nice restaurants that aren't really that expensive, and no potholes. Now, why can't we get rid of the potholes in the rest of the state?
Yeah.
You know, and the government doesn't have a good answer for that. Again, we're sitting on $1.2 billion of tax surplus. They're tax living daylights out of us, and they're not doing anything with us with it. And so you've got, you know, when I mentioned Northwest Arkansas, one of the top five fastest growing metros in the country. Recently, I looked on Wikipedia and they put micropolitan areas in with the metropolitan areas. Mm-hmm. So Helena, West Helena is a micropolitan area, and it is the fastest decline in population from 2010 to 2020 in the country.
In the country?
In the country.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. So that's crazy.
It is.
Because, again, there are only so many ways to get over Mississippi River, and y'all have a bridge right there.
Right there.
To get in. So you would think that Helena, West Helena would be like the gateway for people coming from Mississippi into Arkansas. You would think you'd have a thriving economy, not losing population, something like 25% in 10 years. Mm. It doesn't make sense. So we need to try something different. Yeah. What we've been doing for so many years, whether it's Republican or Democrat governor, doesn't matter. Hutchinson, Beebe, Huckabee, Jim Guy Tucker, Bill Clinton, all of them. We need to do something different. And people are under the impression when they vote for an R instead of a D or a D instead of an R, they're going to get change. And they haven't. I'm the candidate of change. We got to fix our roads. We got to, you know, that bridge going into Memphis.
Yeah.
And the guy made the 911 call, say, hey, you got to stop traffic right now. There's a crack on the bridge. Hmm. And then come to find out that the crack had been there and widening for several years and nobody did anything about it.
Yeah, that was scary.
I mean, I think that's on DOT.
Yeah.
You know, and did anybody lose a job over it? Not that I heard.
Yeah, I think the guy that was supposed to inspect the bridge, I believe he got fired.
Oh, that one guy. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so that one guy.
Yeah.
That one guy. Yeah, we'll make him the scapegoat, the one guy. You know, we got to have better oversight. We got to have better accountability, whether it's talking about our roads and bridges and infrastructure, whether it's talking about our nursing homes, whether it's talking about our child welfare system, what we're not getting done for our veterans, you know, our public schools. We got to have better oversight. We got to have accountability. And I think if you look at two candidates for Republican primary, one of them says, no more status quo. The other one says, oh, Hutchinson is doing a good job. And I hope to be as good a governor as John Bozeman is a senator. I think the choice is pretty clear. Again, the website is electdocwashburn.com. But I'm sorry, you can give me one more question as long as you want, because I'm having fun.
I was trying to think of something else, but I think, you know, I really want to hear what was your plan for the more rural places across the state, and you kind of articulated that. So I appreciate your time today. Do you have any closing remarks?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here by the grace of God. I was somebody who never wanted to run for office, and the Lord got my attention, and I want to glorify God in all that I do. And again, the big message is do unto others as you have them do unto you, which would be something revolutionary for the Arkansas state government. I don't think it's ever been tried before, but I think it's the right thing to do. If I get my message out to enough people, I don't need the $13 million, which Sarah raised. I don't even need 10% of that, $1.3 million. I talked to my guys, my campaign. We had 1% of what she raised, $130,000. We get our message out to enough people, I'll be the nominee and I'll be the governor. Again, the website is electdocwashburn.com. And it's just been a real honor to speak with you, Ms. Candace Williams, and the folks at Rural Community Alliance today. And I appreciate y'all reaching out to us.
For sure. I really appreciate your time. I've always been an advocate for communication.
Yeah.
We don't know each other until we have conversations.
Amen.
We don't have to necessarily agree on everything.
Right.
But just having conversations and understanding each other's viewpoints, that's important. Without the bickering and the arguing, it's important for us to give space to hear from each other. So I appreciate you giving us your time today for us to hear about your platform. And I look forward to, the primary, to see what happens.
Can I say one more thing, which I'd almost forgot? Arkansas, unlike some states, is an open primary state. So you don't have to be a Republican to vote in Republican primary.
Right.
Because our message, a lot of things I'm talking about seem to be going across the board bipartisan. You got registered Democrats who are going, yeah, we do need to fix our child welfare system. Yeah, we do need to take care of our nursing home patients. A lot of what I'm saying is resonating with people who are not necessarily registered Republicans. So Democrats, independents, libertarians, whoever can cross over and vote in Republican primary on May 24th. Early voting starts May 9th here in Arkansas. I appreciate you letting me get that last point in.
For sure. You're right. We definitely are open primary state. So you all heard it from him. So can you say your website again so they'll know exactly where to get more information about you?
Yes, ma'am. electdocwashburn.com.
All righty. It's been a pleasure. You take care.
God bless you. Thank you very much, Ms. Williams. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye. Thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance. So I have one rural power move for today, and that is for everyone to be mindful of the voter registration deadline in order for you to participate in the upcoming primary in May. The upcoming primary in May is on the 24th, and usually voter registrations are due 30 days before, unless it's on a Sunday or a holiday or something like that. And that's our situation this time because April 24th is on a Sunday. So all voters registration forms must be in to your county clerk to the state by April 25th, which is it's the Monday after that Sunday, the 24th, for you to be able to participate in the primary that's coming up in May. As you all heard, we have open primaries in Arkansas, and you can vote across party lines or however you feel. But the important piece of it all is that you vote. Not only register, not only get your family and the younger people in your family registered or your friends, but that you actually take that action and go the step further and actually vote. That's what's important. Until next time, y'all take care. We'll be right back.